This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies. Vivify Health, the innovative leader in connected care solutions, has developed the ultimate, easy-to-use, low-cost, safe-return screening solution. It provides screening and monitoring technology to make the back-to-work better and safer, helping organizations to be well-prepared for the new normal. Additionally, Vivify Pathways, the company's mobile cloud-based platform, powers holistic, remote care management through personalized care plans, biometric data monitoring, multi-channel patient education, and functionality configured to each patient's unique needs.
Hello, and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. I'm Emily Sokol, Senior Researcher and Editor at Xtelligent Healthcare Media. Today, we are talking with Lori Baker, Director of Ambulatory Care Management, Senior Services, and Preferred Provider Post-Acute Network at TriHealth. In her current role, Lori is responsible for operations and quality management of the post-acute network through the Advanced Quality Outcomes Program for Skilled Nursing Facilities and Home Care. Lori and her team have been successful in having SNFs and HCs document quality metrics and utilization for patient-level detail within the Epic EMR. She also manages the ambulatory care team of nurses, social workers, and community health care workers for TriHealth primary care practices. Today, we will be talking with Lori about the digital transformation and how technology can enable productivity across the health system. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you.
So I want to start today by asking you to give us an overview of TriHealth's digital transformation. How do you define digital transformation, and what were some of the motivations to leverage more digital solutions? Can you walk us through some of the components of that strategy?
Sure, I'm happy to. And like many hospital systems, we have many digital transformations that we've done over the course of several years, but I think most significantly, we've seen a lot of digital transformation and adoption over the past couple months. And I think that that has obviously been because of some of the changes within healthcare that has really helped us to have physicians and others look at doing things differently than they've ever done before. In our organization, from the standpoint of our post-acute, we have our doctors that are geriatricians that visit all of our nursing facilities. They have been using several different platforms to be able to engage with the patient as well as the medical team there to help with managing a patient's complex conditions. We've also been seeing a lot of work being done in regards to telemedicine and telemonitoring with our organization. We've started several new platforms in regards to that. In some cases, we have where we're providing them with blood pressure cuffs and really trying to focus on wellness care and preventative health for managing conditions. We also have a piece that we just recently started for our heart failure patients where we provide little pieces of information to them on a regular basis over 30 days when they leave the hospital to try to help them understand their condition better and help them manage in bite-sized pieces versus the huge novels and handbooks of information we used to give previously to patients when they were leaving the hospital. And we just started that project in August, and that's been something that everyone's been very excited about. And we've been seeing some great outcomes with that, but it's still very early in the measuring standpoint. We also, from a digital standpoint, have had a lot more patients that have engaged in seeing their doctors through telemedicine visits. And that has been amazing to see that transformation and help as we continue to move forward and try to engage more patients in preventative care, and then also helping them when they do have episodes of illness where they need to have a doctor prescribe medicine or do something to help them. The last piece I'll talk about, and we're in the process of developing it right now, is one of our specialty doctors in infectious disease is really wanting to monitor patients better than previously done when a patient was in a skilled nursing facility. So we're in the process too of piloting doing that type of telemedicine when a patient was leaving the hospital on IV antibiotics to provide for better continuity of care. And we're also feeling that will be a win for the patient and the nursing facility because they would not have to transfer out of the facility to go to the hospital or go to the physician office for an appointment. So we think that that will really be a win across the board when we get that process up and running. So we've been doing several different things. I think our motivation to use the digital health solutions and look at all these different options and strategy has really been people want healthcare done differently. We're very much a consumer-based type of model now as we move forward. Patients have choice, and you, of course, want them to select you over another system and be able to have the engagement and support that you need for that patient. So being able to give them healthcare in the moment the way they want it and prefer it is a win for them and also a win for us because we now can reach more patients and meet their needs better.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you guys have been just a little busy.
Yes.
I'm curious, as you were rolling out all of these, you know, multiple programs and platforms and technologies, what were some of the biggest barriers and challenges that you had to overcome and some of the strategies that you implemented to help overcome them?
I think one of the biggest things is whenever you're introducing new technology, there's always that habit of us to want to do what we used to do before. We like to be skilled in what we know and do. And because we were introducing new technology, there was the habit to not engage and buy into it by some of the providers as well as some of the patients because it was new and different. And so that made it scary and they didn't want to move forward with that. I think one of the things we've also seen is a barrier of when patients do use the technology, part of what we've had to do is really make sure that we're doing on a platform that they're familiar with and comfortable with to use. And that also speaks to what we had to do with our physicians, because if anything is too difficult or hard, they're not going to engage and use the process. So I think there was a lot of learning that happened along the way in doing that. And then also building within our Epic, the different questions and the different ways to lead a physician through the telehealth visit was a key part of the success and making sure we were dropping charges correctly so that we would be reimbursed. So there was a lot of grace extended by our insurance companies during some of this adoption, but it also was one of those where we really needed to have a lot of checks and balances in place to make sure we were doing what we needed to in order to get payments authorized and to make sure people were adopting the process. So there was a lot of auditing that was going on. And I think that that was probably how we overcame a lot of the barriers, is continuing to look at what was going well, where there were opportunities, and then trying to work through those as we did, and then provide coaching and education in the moment so that we could help bring people to success and comfort in using the technology.
Right. So it sounds like you were really focused on meeting both patients and providers where they were at and not trying to come in and make a sweeping change from the start.
Correct. I mean, definitely if you don't get both of those parties involved in the process and make sure that there are satisfiers on both ends, it's not going to be a very successful program or implementation. So I think that is always the case. We also, of course, have very early adopters that just loved the technology. And I think one of the things that was very interesting, it wasn't so surprising to myself with working with seniors and some of the data we saw, but I think it was surprising to our organization that the biggest adopters of using the telehealth and the telemonitoring were our patients that were 60 and older. So that was the largest percent of people using the technology early on. So that was a pretty significant eyebrow raiser for a lot of people that were not thinking that that would have been what would happen and that they thought that it would be the people in their 20s and 30s using it.
Yeah, that is surprising. I feel like the older population can often get a bad rep for not wanting to embrace technology, but I think we've seen a growing effort for them to really embrace technology and really like it.
Yes, correct.
So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about the provider side of things, because I think the industry often talks about provider burnout and how digital health and technology can help decrease provider burnout. But I'm wondering if you can talk about how this technology can help enable that productivity amongst the provider workforce. You know, you talked about really meeting providers where they were at and providing them education, but how is it helping providers improve their workflow and potentially reduce burnout?
Because you have the opportunity when you're doing the telehealth visits and the telemonitoring and using those types of resources, your productivity goes up because you don't necessarily have the rooming and the bedding and the patient and all those other different things that come into place. And I think from a burnout perspective with our physicians, you get to do things a little newer. It's different. So I can't necessarily speak as if I was a provider, but I'm thinking if I was one, I would like the fact that we're coming up with innovative ways to talk and engage with our patients. What's really helpful when they're doing those visits at home, they actually can see where the patient's environment is. There's more information available to you in some ways from a telehealth visit. Now, some people will argue you don't have, you know, somebody checking the heart, doing this, that, and the other, and that's true. But I think what you also gain is the visual of seeing the patient one-on-one in their home surroundings and maybe being engaged with them a little differently. So I think that that is always a positive and I would think a win in both ways.
Right. You're able to almost maintain that patient relationship, but then also put the patient into context almost and potentially see some social determinants of health or just how the patient is living that I would imagine would help better inform care as well.
We are doing video visits when I'm rounding with my team members as well, so I can actually see them face to face to have that engagement versus over the phone right now. And it really has helped because while you're sitting there talking, their dog is walking by. So then you can talk about the dog or the cat or whatever the case may be. So I think it does allow us to get more personal about the individual and know things about them we wouldn't have otherwise. So that's always a win.
Right. And really building on that patient-provider relationship. That's great. So I want to talk a little bit more about looking to the future. I'm curious, Lori, what role you see technology continuing to play, particularly in the post-acute care setting, but also at the industry or at TriHealth at large as well.
So one of the things that we have really embarked on over the past 5 or 6 months with Point Click Care, which is one of the large EMR suppliers in our Cincinnati market, is connectivity and integrating our post-acute data so that when a patient leaves our hospital system and goes to a nursing facility, the information is electronically transferred and it's reducing errors and it's, in essence, improving outcomes. And also from a productivity standpoint, we're hearing some real wins from our nursing facilities because instead of having to spend time manually entering medications and other key pieces of information on a patient, it's coming over electronically. So we all got into healthcare to be able to spend time with patients, but we're finding more and more with technology. Sometimes you have to spend a lot of time in front of the computers. So anytime we can give a caregiver back the time to take care of a patient, it's a win for the patient and the caregiver. And we've been very excited and seeing a lot of success in that area as we continue to move forward. I think one of the pieces, whenever you're doing an integration, and we started this with 5 facilities, we're now up to about 30 facilities being on this data integration and in hearing a lot of positive feedback from the facilities. I think one of the things that we're finding is the barrier or challenge is kind of what we were talking about before. People are used to doing things in a certain way. And so having to give up their old habits to try something new can be a very scary thing and be something that they don't necessarily want to adopt because it's new. But if they give it a chance, they'll find that they end up having more time and are more successful as a result. So I think one of the things we've seen and one of the things we've actually heard from our skilled nursing facilities is the fact of what a win it has been having this information data exchange. And we've done a very small study so far, and we have seen very positive outcomes and reductions in readmissions for patients where we've done this integration. So we're very excited about that work of connecting the EMRs and really do see that as the future of healthcare.
And it sounds like you really think that, you know, technology and digital solutions will only continue to grow. And I couldn't agree with that more. I'm wondering what investments you think organizations need to make in order to ensure this continued growth and transformation?
I really think that organizations need to be willing to be creative in their decision making and be willing to allocate team members to do these kinds of builds in order to help transform the data. I can say that this has been something that our information systems have really embraced and have been very supportive. It truly was a matter of, from a business angle and a service line angle of post-acute, us working hand in hand with our own IT team to help with promoting this win. So you really have to have buy-in from both ends of the spectrum in order to make something like this work. But when you do have that kind of working relationship and that type of investment, it really does pay off in the long run because it really does help the overall continuum of care in the transitions of care. And we do know during transitions of care, that's when a patient is most likely to have an error in their chart and potentially lead to a readmission. So whenever we can have information transferred electronically to avoid those kinds of individual human errors, it's going to be a win. One of the pieces I'd like to add in addition to the win from a post-acute perspective of the integration of the point-click care EMR with the Epic EMR at TriHealth is the fact that we also on the hospital end receive the information back when a patient leaves the nursing facility. If they do need to come to our emergency department, our pharmacy has access in real time to what records and what medications the patient was on when they were at the nursing facility. So this helps us to very quickly be able to do medication reconciliation with whatever information we had on the patient when they were in our hospital and ensure better quality of care for that emergency room visit in that emergent moment of knowing what's happening. And in addition, it shows up in our medical records so that when a patient leaves the nursing facility and returns home after their skilled stay, our primary care physicians are able to look and see what medications the patients were discharged on, so that they're able to then continue with their care and know maybe what was happening in the post-acute facility much more seamlessly than they were in the past. So that's definitely a win that we're seeing in our ambulatory world with our physician practices, as well as with the acute care in the emergency room and as a patient gets admitted.
I think that's a really good point because it's speaking to the importance of interoperability. But when we talk about that, it's often, you know, between primary care providers and specialty providers or providers and payers. And you're really emphasizing the importance of also including the pharmaceutical side of things in this interoperability question and ensuring that all of these partners are talking in order to help deliver the best patient care.
Correct.
Lori, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today and have this important conversation.
Thank you very much.
And for our listeners, how is your organization leveraging technology to enable productivity? Tell us your thoughts by sharing this episode on Twitter and tagging us at mhealthintel. We look forward to hearing your thoughts. Thank you.
This has been an Extelligent Healthcare Media production.